During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Again, it's AdventHealthChampionship.com. Thank you to Isaiah Salendo and Tom Watson joining us there talking about what's coming up May 13th through the 19th. Let's talk some NFL football now. Adam Teicher is our guest from ESPN, the Chiefs insider from ESPN. He's presented by Twin Peaks. Step up your lunch game at Twin Peaks. Enjoy light yet hearty combos put together for you, available at an awesome price, featuring savory soups, crisp salads, and a variety of sandwiches to satisfy your every craving. Enjoy your next lunch break with Twin Peaks. Adam Teicher joining us here in the zone. Adam, how are you, sir? And are you ready for it to be Thursday already? Or do you have so much work and it's like, man, I got all this stuff to do that I don't have enough time. There's not enough hours in the day to get everything done before we can finally see these players get drafted on Thursday night.
Yeah. Thursday at 10:30, probably can't get here fast enough. You hate okay. to wish your life away,
I know.
But if we're Tuesday at 10:30 at night, that might not be a bad thing in this case.
The way I describe this is, I feel like the draft day to a lot is like Christmas morning. One of the many, many, many Christmas mornings in the sports calendar, like the Thursday of the opening round of the NCAA tournament and the Thursday of the NFL season and all of that stuff. Thursday of the first, game that the Chiefs are becoming used to playing in. But, those different, Thursday will feel like a Christmas day. And these are the last couple of days where you're kind of getting all the presents figured out and wrapped and everything for you to just sit back and see what's going on Thursday night when people are unwrapping presents and all of that stuff. You don't know what's in the presents from different people you're getting, but these are the final couple of days of preparation, which are sometimes the longest days.
Yeah, and, there's a lot of rumors and stuff that fill the void a little bit, and, probably not a lot of truth to a lot of them, but, that's what this time's for. It's fun to speculate. I mean, mm-hmm. It really is. The possibilities are really endless, and that goes for free agency as well. So it's kind of fun to tinker with what they might want to do, no doubt about it.
And it's just like around our house, there's late asks. There's late Christmas wish that come in like the last couple of days. It's like, hold on, wait a minute. That was not a part of this. We did not know about this. And now 2 days
you
before.
You didn't have Xavier Worthy on your Christmas list. What are you talking about?
I don't remember Xavier Leggett being any part of your Christmas list a month ago. Now all of a sudden you're talking about you can't live without him. I mean, this is it's exactly right. It's a great point. AD Mitchell, I didn't think we could afford that Christmas present, but apparently we can. It's on sale. It was Black Friday sale. We got AD Mitchell at number 32. It was a surprise.
There you go. It's that time of year.
Yes, visiting with Adam Teicher from ESPN. Did anything stick out from listening to Brett Veach on Friday? Anything specific or particular? As you know, he talked for a while, answered a lot of questions, some from you as well. Yeah. But anything overriding that sort of you heard from Brett Veach in that press conference? Then we'll get into some other specifics in that particular conversation he had.
Well, not surprising, but just confirmation that what the Chiefs are thinking of Darius Toney, and he certainly seems like he's going to at least come to camp with the Chiefs now, and I feel pretty confident he's going to have to earn his way once camp starts. But that we got confirmation of, and also confirmation they're going to have some kind of competition for Wanya Morris at left tackle, whether that's a draft pick or a veteran or both. Heck, maybe both. Before it's all done, but the Chiefs aren't done there either. So we kind of suspected that, but now he really cleared that up. So he revealed a couple pieces of the puzzle here at least.
Yeah, there's a number of things I want to get into and talk about. I know that his nature and his sort of general GM sensibility is to be aggressive and trade up in the draft. And there's been talk about, hey, can the Chiefs get up to the middle of the first round? And that was a specific question to Brett Veach. And I loved the self-awareness of him saying, well, I could see myself. I get the sign off from, Clark Hunt and others, that's a different story. I just love that. Well, I could see myself doing that. Yes, of course. Adam, in the real world, in the world that we live in where, you got to build a team, is it realistic that the Chiefs would even entertain moving up to, 15 to take somebody that high and what it would take to get there?
Not unless they're looking for a quarterback, which I
right.
think we're probably in agreement that they're not.
I don't think so. They got Carson Wentz. What more do you want?
You can't move up that high for anybody but a quarterback. I mean, who could they possibly who could possibly be worth that price mm-hmm. to the Chiefs? Whatever that would take, going from 32 to say 15. Wow, it took next year's one plus a three to get to 27-10 for Mahomes. Man, you better love the guy. You better be convinced that he's going to be a major part of a championship team for years to come, as Mahomes has been. So I just don't see it. I mean, it's fun to talk about and all that, but I just don't see that with them. That would bankrupt their basically the rest of this draft and maybe take away their first round pick next year. And so I don't think that's realistic or something they should be thinking about in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, you hit on the point that I think is the biggest of that whole discussion is, is there a player that would be close to worth it to take at that spot for what it would cost when you've got Patrick Mahomes on your team already? You've already got Mahomes. Who could possibly be worth three or four, including, who could be worth being a guy that would be two first-rounders and a third-rounder? It's three players that would be two different first-rounders and a third-rounder as opposed to one guy when you've already got Patrick Mahomes. I can't imagine there being a player that valuable to this team, even if you're Joe Alt shouldn't have been there. Right, that's a left tackle. That's awesome. But he better be Jonathan Ogden if you're giving up that, and when you've already got Patrick Mahomes, when with him, it feels like you continue to put competent people around him and a good competitive team, and you've got a chance every year to win a Super Bowl. And when you get in the playoffs and that guy, you got a real chance.
Yeah, see, that's the key. I mean, we both agree that the Chiefs have done a really nice job of keeping the ball rolling every year. They're not pushing their chips in on any one particular year at the expense of future years. And that's what this trade would be, really. They'd almost be saying, okay, we're going to gamble that this guy is going to help us win multiple championships, and if we go bust, if he's not that good of a player, he gets hurt, we're stripping ourselves of all these resources to make it happen. And that would go completely against every bit of evidence that we have with the Chiefs in terms of how they operate. They're not going to mortgage future years for the benefit of 1 year or a couple years. So I just don't see it.
Even though this would go against his general nature as a GM, is a trade down more likely? Is that a trade down more likely than even a modest trade up, from 32 to 27, 32 to 26, something like that, that may take your fourth rounder to move up those spots to get somebody that you feel like is worth it? Is that more likely, considering we are talking about Brett Veach, or a trade back and collect more draft picks in a draft where you don't have a huge volume of guys you can select?
Yeah, well, a lot of times, whether a trade up or trade down makes more sense is what your board looks like when you're getting really close to where you're picking. If the board is full of players where the Chiefs like at 32, and they're thinking, wow, we'd be happy with any of four or five of these guys, they're better off trading down and getting extra picks and still getting one of those guys. But if there's a guy they have sights set on, like Trent McDuffie a couple of years ago, and they say, you know what, he's the guy we really want, and he's not going to be falling to us at 29. That's when you got to make your move, you know. So I think the board and the way the draft develops, it kind of dictates that. You know, having said that, I don't think it's ever a bad idea to trade down and get extra picks. The draft is a percentages game. The more picks you have, the better you're going to do. They've done such a good job in the later rounds that, you know, if they can pick up a third or fourth round pick, you know, that's a pretty valuable thing when you look at how they've used those picks over the years. So I always think a trade down is a good idea. But, you know, as far as whether a trade up or trade up down is more likely, I just think it depends on how their board falls and whether they feel like there's going to be good players falling to them, good players they like falling to them at 32.
How many, Adam Teich is our guest, you mentioned that, you know, understanding that it's, you know, the more shots you have, the better you'll be at drafting players, and so trading back and getting extra picks. How many GMs in the NFL out of the 32 do you feel like honestly view it as, you know what, this is way more of a crapshoot than an applied science, and so if it's a crapshoot, I want more rolls of the dice rather than, no, I've been practicing a lot, and this is going to be a 7. I know that because I've really been practicing my roll of the dice, and I've put in so much work, and we've got the scouts and all of that, and this is going to be... we're going to roll a 7 here. We just know we're going to get it right, even if we lose 3 more rolls to be able to roll this 7 right now. How many GMs actually do you think realistically in their heart of hearts view it as a crapshoot as opposed to, now this is my job, it's what I do, and it's an applied science, and that's why we're really good at drafting, or we think we are?
I think there's a lot of them who, you know, for lack of a better term, are sort of scared to pick a guy, you know, and face maybe the criticism that comes with that if the guy's a bust. I really believe that. There's some guys who don't want to take that heat, and so it's just easier to trade out, and then you don't, you don't really have that kind of criticism if a guy goes bust. But, you know, I know Brett Veach doesn't feel that way.
Yeah.
They believe in their process, and they believe in what they see and how they have their board. And, you know, they've got guys ranked in certain areas. And if, you know, there's one left, or they're getting close to 32, and there's, say, one guy left, they'll, I don't think there's any doubt he would at least make some effort to move up if that's the case. And but, you know, moving back is not a bad strategy either, because you know, if you can still get the guy you like, so that's the best of both worlds. You know, if they get to 32 and there's, you know, 4 or 5 guys that they'd be happy with at 32, trade down a few spots, go get one of them later, plus another draft pick or two. So that's always a good strategy.
Visiting with Adam Teicher from ESPN, he is our guest, presented by Twin Peaks. You know, one of the things that we heard from Brett Veach on Friday when he was talking about the tackle spot, the wide receiver spot, and said, you know, past 35 or 40, if you are looking at a tackle, you know, it's probably rough for you. You know, top 15, great, great tackle class. But, you know, 32 and 64, yeah, maybe you got a shot, you know, but top 10 to 15 or whatever. And then he talked about receivers, the first 50 picks that they have, you know, that pocket of receivers that they've got pretty good grades on. And then there's another pocket behind those first 50 picks. Did he sort of give away a little bit of, you know, at least not give away? He's been, you know, pretty forthright in his answers. He's not one of those guys. I'm not going to tell you anything because that could be used against me. But he sort of let you know, hey, you know, 35 or 40 is when the tackle market is pretty much done, and you got a chance at 32 to have somebody there. Whereas the wide receivers, we've got them, you know, pretty much through 50. Can you read anything into that from Brett Veach mentioned? Does it make it more likely that they go tackle? Because after 35 or 40, boom, it's a wasteland, for lack of a better term, whereas there's at least another pocket of wide receivers after the top 50?
Well, yeah, that's if the right tackle is there.
Yeah, yeah. Not specifically
the correct tackle. Yeah. Bad choice of phrases there.
Yeah.
If the correct tackle's there, yeah, I don't think they would reach for a guy just because they need a tackle or they want a tackle. you know, if you're going to do that, you're better off drafting elsewhere and then signing a free agent if you're just going to say, hey, we just need a tackle here. So I don't think they'll be doing that, but we'll see. You know, I think there's a better chance if they're going to be trading up, it's for a tackle than for a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't see them forcing it. If they don't trade up and they just pick at 32 and there's not somebody there at 32 they really like, I think they'd go elsewhere, maybe corner. I can see them going in a lot of different directions, really.
Yeah, he mentioned cornerback. That stood out to me as well when he said, you know, wide receiver, tackle, outside of that, you know, maybe cornerback, defensive line. You know, there's some good players there. It's a deeper defensive line class than last year. But, you know, the fact that it's like wide receiver, tackle, if not that, corner, you know, defensive line. I mean, who knows where they end up going? I mean, heck, it might be safety. I'm not sure. I mean, it's not like he's going to tell you exactly what he's picking. But I did find that to be significant because we've gone from – you know, Brett Veach is not going to spend resources on a cornerback. He's just not going to do it. He got Charvarius Ward. He got L'Jarius Sneed. It's not going to happen. He let Ward walk, so he's not going to – oh, they traded and got a first-round draft pick in McDuffie. Oh, wait, they might take another cornerback in the first round as well with the draft, with the pick after they, you know, traded away L'Jarius Sneed. I thought that was significant that he at least mentioned cornerback, and maybe that's a smokescreen of, hey, we may take cornerback here at 32, just so you guys know if anybody else is looking for a corner. We just lost Sneed. I'm not sure, but I take him at his word that, you know, it is certainly a position that people have talked about, and they could use another cornerback and, you know, play outside and Trent McDuffie, you know, stay in the slot or whatever the plans are. But I thought that was interesting that was a positional group that he mentioned in the first round, because that's kind of been the off the board pick. If they don't go wide receiver, tackle, where do they go? I think they go cornerback. It seems to be the most likely answer that's been given.
Yeah, and you know, a corner. You know, the Chiefs certainly have some candidates to play. I mean, they got McDuffie, and then, you know, Williams, Watson, maybe Nazi Johnson. We'll see where Nick Jones is. I mean, they've got some candidates there, but do you have the quality you want? You know, are those guys who can play every down, or any of those guys who can play every down in the Steve Spagnuolo system? So, you know, I could see if there's a, you know, Ennis Rakestraw maybe, mm-hmm. you know, if he's sitting there at 32, I could see the Chiefs saying, you know what, that's the best player available on our board. Let's go ahead and take him. I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, I don't think Nate Wiggins will fall to 32, but if he does, you know, that's another guy that, you know, I would think the Chiefs would have a big interest in. So, yeah, corner wouldn't surprise me at all if it's the right guy.
Yeah. Visiting with Adam Teicher from ESPN as our guest. The one of the other things that came out of the conversation that Brett Veach had on Friday, and see if I'm reading too much into this, but he was asked about Rashee Rice specifically, like the Rashee Rice effect on the draft, and he had mentioned, well, you know, there's a number of places we can go, like a wide receiver, and was talking about the draft, and he had mentioned, you know, really outside of quarterback, and then he said, and maybe linebacker, and then went on and was like, we can really fill any position. Am I reading too much into that we know quarterback is solidified? They only got two linebackers under contract after this year in Chanel and Drew Tranquil. So if they don't think they need to address linebacker, is that a preview that they're thinking of or working on something with Nick Bolton?
Yeah, and not only that, but I don't think this is a great year for linebackers. That you probably wouldn't want to take one high up in the draft. So not many of them. The ones I don't think 32 is going to be a sweet spot
for a
linebacker. So I think maybe that was what he was kind of alluding to. But I have no doubt they'd like to have Nick Bolton back. I mean, you know, we talked about, or at least I've talked about, L'Jarius Sneed being the kind of the perfect corner for Steve Spagnuolo. Well, I think in a lot of ways Nick Bolton's the ideal linebacker, you know, so I think that's a good fit, and I have no doubt he'd like to stay, all things being equal. So, I think that one might happen.
Visiting with Adam Teicher from ESPN. Okay, you mentioned Kadarius Toney. Brett Veach mentioned Kadarius Toney. You wrote something this morning at ESPN about Kadarius Toney. So let's talk about that. Is it... Is it really a matter of just staying healthy for Kadarius Toney, Adam, as Brett Veach said on Friday? Is it really a matter of if he just stays healthy? Because I don't remember his hands being broken last year or anything.
Yeah.
Being an issue with his hands.
Yeah, no. I think in the Chiefs view, a lot of what happened with Toney last year was colored by that injury at training camp. That sort of dropped a shade and cast a huge shadow on everything that happened the rest of that year. And that, they thought maybe he was going to be primed for a big year, and then he missed all of camp, and they kind of rushed him back to the Lions game, and we know what happened in that game. And it just sort of snowballed from there, never really got any better. So I don't know that that's the answer. You know, was he well enough at some point to play well during the season? Yeah, I don't think the Chiefs would deny that. But I think more the injury thing with them is more, hey, this was training camp. Although, that training camp injury, although I looked this up, this was stunning to me. I didn't appreciate it, I guess, as we were going through the season. But, okay, the Chiefs have played 21 games between the regular season and the playoffs. They played 21 games, right? So they had to have 21 injury reports during the season. Kadarius, you know how many of those injury reports Kadarius Toney was on of the 21?
Well, he had to be on them early, and he was definitely on them late.
19. There were two injury reports. I think the Super Bowl was one of them. He was fine but didn't play. And there was one in the middle of the year. I think they played the Broncos, the one they lost in Denver. I think that was the one he wasn't on that one either. He was on the injury report 19 times in 21 weeks. And it wasn't all the same thing. I mean, it wasn't the knee. Like it started out with the knee, but then it went to a toe and other stuff. I mean, it was all kinds of stuff. So, he's going to have to toughen up, I think, a little bit. I mean, some of this he's just going to have to play through, I think. So, but to answer your question, I think they're more thinking in terms of that first injury that really they feel like that kind of wrecked his season.
So two things with that. One is so being on the injury report that many times and Brett Veach saying, it's just a matter of staying healthy. I think past results can give you a good idea of what the future is going to be. And he has had injuries throughout his entire NFL career. So I don't know that that's anything that's going to change all of a sudden with Kadarius Toney, since that's sort of been his MO. I remember when they traded for him, my buddy who covers the Giants said, first thing he said is he'll keep the training staff busy. and that's exactly been right. The other part of it is like being on the injury report that many times. Maybe it's too coincidental, in law enforcement, they don't believe in coincidence. maybe it's too coincidental that the last target that Kadarius Toney got was the Patriots, pass that went through his hands and was intercepted. And then he was, quote, on the injury report and was out for the rest of the year with the quote unquote injury, because he was fine in that game. He just happened to drop another pass that was intercepted, and then he didn't suit up again for the Chiefs. So I don't know, maybe that's a coincidence, or maybe it was he's injured, but also Mahomes is done with him this year. And I don't want to see that guy out on the field anymore. And unless it's an emergency type situation, which it wasn't, I don't know. Maybe it just happened to be the last target he got went through his hands, got intercepted, and we saw Mahomes go to the sideline and go, "I just told him that."
I agree. I mean, the timing is extremely coincidental here on that. He all of a sudden couldn't play after that last play that he played against New England. All of a sudden, his injuries were so bad.
That's right. Couldn't see the field.
Lineup. But, the Chiefs don't have to do that. They don't have to invent injuries for the guy to bench him. I mean, they can just say, hey, listen, we're done with you. You're, come out to practice every day, but you're not going to play. We're done with this. We're not going to put up with this stuff anymore. And so they didn't have to invent the injuries for that. So, although you're right. I mean, it is very too much coincidence for my taste as well.
Adam Teicher from ESPN, presented by Twin Peaks. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll talk about Andy Reid signs a contract extension along with Brett Veach and Mark Donovan. We'll talk about what that means and a couple of other points from Brett Veach, and get Adam's thoughts on where they draft, who they draft, coming up on Thursday. More Zone rolling along right after this with Adam Teicher from ESPN, presented by Twin Peaks. All right, hanging out with Adam Teicher, presented by Twin Peaks. He's from ESPN. The draft coming up in just a couple of days there in Detroit. And we talk with Adam Teicher. Adam, the news coming down about Brett Veach, Mark Donovan, and Andy Reid signing their contract extensions. Adam, does this come close to quieting the conversation at the end of the season that will most certainly come up about speculation of Andy Reid's last season in the NFL, even though he just signed the extension?
Yeah, well, you know, if you say that every year about Andy Reid, if you go into December and January saying, you know what, he very well could retire this year, he may retire. One of these years, you're going to be right.
It's so true.
And you're going to look good. So, you know, I don't think it will stop that. But I can't imagine he'd sign a 5 or 6 year contract with the intent of coaching one more year. So, I think he's in this for the longer haul than that. So, I don't know that it's year to year with him. This is, you know, we've talked about this before. This is what he's coached for. This is what everybody's coached. This is what every football coach in history has coached for, a situation like this one, you know, with the players they've got and the support from the ownership and the front office and all that. So, I can't see him walking away from this anytime soon. I really can't.
Well, and that was my takeaway as well, that, you know, when people were going, well, he's not going to coach in the entire 6 year contract, I'm like, you know, maybe not. Odds would say no. Is he going to still be coaching at 71? I don't know. But I'll tell you this, it doesn't feel like year to year anymore. And that was my first reaction is, okay, there's at least a couple 3 year stability where you feel like the Chiefs know who their coach is. You've got, you know, 2-3 more years with Andy Reid, and it's not going to be week 16 this year that you're going to have reports of, well, there are some people inside the Chiefs organization that feel like it could be Andy Reid's, like the, you know, it's on the Chiefs radar that Andy Reid could retire. Okay.
Well,
yes.
Yeah. I mean,
he's been coaching here 11 years. He's been coaching in the NFL as a head coach for 25. Yeah, of course. It's on the radar.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it'll end the speculation. I think there'll
either be
some speculation. But, you know, it's a long, grinding year. And, you know, I don't blame anybody who, you know, especially somebody who's been doing as long as he has for, you know, saying, hey, do I really want to do this? You know, do I want to go through this grind again? But I think in the end he will because this is, you know, he's given the Chiefs his word in a sense, and you know, he'd be leaving a lot behind that he's coached his whole life for. So, it would be an upset if he's not. Yeah, I don't know whether he'd be coaching in 2029 either, but I feel pretty good about 24, 25, 26. I feel pretty good about those.
Visiting with Adam Teicher, you're around Andy Reid, and he's a student of the game. How much do you think it would matter to him to pick up 71 more wins and pass Don Shula? And I don't know where Bill Belichick's going to be. He ain't coaching right now. If he coaches next year, the year after that, we'll see how many years he has left. But 71 wins away, Andy Reid is from being the all-time winningest head coach in NFL history. 63 if you throw in the playoff wins as well. He needs 64 to pass Don Shula in that. How much do you think that is part of the carrot for him in, you know, coaching a little bit longer? And I guess the second part, two-part question, Brad, I'll have a follow-up. It is, do you think if he gets close, like if he coaches 3 or 4 more years and now he's like, man, I'm 25 wins away. Maybe I do want to coach a couple of more years to then pass Don Shula and be the winningest coach of all time.
Yeah, well, the easy answer is, yeah, he'd love to be number one on that list. Do I think that's the ultimate deciding factor for him? No, I don't. You know, I've talked about this before because I hear it from a lot of people who work with and know him well. You know, I'm not saying with this statement that wins and losses aren't important to him. They're very important. But he enjoys the other part, the non-game day part of his job, as much or more as any coach that I've ever been around. He loves the grind. He loves the drawing the play up the plays and concocting a playbook and matching wits with the opposing coaches. You know, I don't think it's just a cliche with him. Hey, we're looking forward to challenge and playing the upcoming opponent. No, he's looking forward to matching wits with that coach on the other sideline. He lives for that stuff. He loves leading men, and he loves teaching. He looks at himself as much as a teacher as a coach, and he loves all that stuff. So it's not just the wins and losses here. I don't know that that would be any kind of record would be a deciding factor for him. I think if he still loved all these other things we're talking about, and I think he will, then he would want to stick around. But I don't think he would stick around just for that. I think he'd, all these other things have to be in place for him to coach deep into this contract, I think.
Adam Teich is our guest from ESPN. He is presented by Twin Peaks. Brett Veach was asked about maybe not specifically, you know, Devondre Sweat that had the DUI, but guys like that that might be riskier draft picks, and how much when a team like the Chiefs are dealing with what they're dealing with, a player like that might be taken off the board or change your view of them. And Brett Veach said, you know, subconsciously you do, whether you do it specifically or purposefully, you know, subconsciously, yeah. How do you think they sort of approach that with players along those lines? Does it have to be like the value is so great right now that we can look past A or B because the guy shouldn't be here? Or is there an element of this isn't really the organization we need to bring the guy in that's got some traffic issues and some car issues right now? So we're just simply, if he's a great player, he's a great player. But we also have Patrick Mahomes, and we're simply going to, you know, go a different direction with this guy.
Yeah, well, I he also said that they sort of take these things on a case-by-case case basis. Mm-hmm. There's no policy that, you know, sort of covers all of this stuff. And that's probably the way to go. I mean, I agree that, you know, any kind of traffic-related offenses, you know, starting with Britt Reed, I mean, you know, these things, there should be a more critical eye maybe given to those kinds of offenses and whether you want to bring that person into this community. You know, I feel pretty strongly about that. And so there should be on their part. And so, you know, I think it'll make them think twice. Yeah. Would it mean they wouldn't necessarily draft a guy? I don't know. I think they may be maybe looking at it maybe a little bit closer than some teams, but would it steer them away from somebody just because? I don't know. I mean, I think, again, they'd look at the circumstances and say, hey, is this guy kind of a repeat offender? I mean, is this going to be a problem with him, or was this just a case of a young guy doing a really, really, really dumb thing? So I do really think there will be more of an emphasis on a case-by-case basis as opposed to just some kind of, no, we're not going to touch the guy. We're not going to look into it. We're not going to do anything. We're just going to steer clear of it because we've had some issues in the past.
All right, let's throw some darts here. Adam Teicher from ESPN, presented by Twin Peaks. What pick do the Chiefs end up selecting on Thursday night? And I don't mean specifically just are they picking 32nd? Are they picking earlier? Or is their first pick on Friday night?
No, I think they'll pick at 32. Trades aren't as easy to come by as that, so I just don't feel like they've got enough to move up to like they did a couple years ago for McDuffie. I just don't think they have that kind of ammunition this year. So that's not to say they couldn't move up a shorter distance, but I those are hard to predict. So I'll stick at 32, I think. I think they'll be picking there.
All right. What position do you think they go with at number 32 on Thursday?
I don't think 32 is going to be a sweet spot for them at offensive tackle. And so then it maybe comes down to corner or wide receiver. And I got to believe if there's a wide receiver there they like at 32, it'll be that'll be the thing. You know, we do our mock draft tonight on ESPN, and spoiler alert, I've got a wide receiver for the Chiefs at 32. One I didn't expect to be there at 32. Okay. So, if you don't tell anybody, I'll tell you it was Adonai Mitchell of Texas. I didn't expect him to be there, but he is. So I was all set to take Ennis Rakestraw of Missouri at corner, but Mitchell was there, and I'm like, okay, I twist my arm here. So I did it. So that's what I don't think Mitchell will be there, though, in the real thing. So, but we'll see.
All right. Well, we've got you written down, pick number 32, and we will not tell anybody of the selection that you will make coming up tonight, apparently. Adam Teicher from ESPN, presented by Twin Peaks. Adam, thank you for the time, as always. Enjoy the next couple of days, and certainly 10:30 Thursday night, or even 10:30 Saturday, who knows, or Sunday morning when you can sleep in a little bit, maybe. Appreciate it, as always. We'll talk next week when we have a better idea and know who these particular players are. Thank you, sir.
Yep, looking forward to it.
Absolutely. There's Adam Teicher from ESPN. Again, he's presented by Twin Peaks. Step up your lunch game at Twin Peaks. Enjoy light yet hearty combos put together for you, available at an awesome price, featuring savory soups, crisp salads, and a variety of sandwiches to satisfy your every craving. Enjoy your next lunch break with Twin Peaks. We'll take a timeout, come back, continue rolling, wrap up this hour. Then we'll talk with Les Norman coming up at noon. Todd Lebo, 1 o'clock. More Zone next. All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. Sterling Holmes, Dylan Michaels. We had up until 2 o'clock. We'll talk with Les Norman coming up at noon. Talk a little Rawls baseball with Les. Royals 1-4 in their last five games. Three more on this homestand against the Toronto Blue Jays today, tomorrow, and then Thursday afternoon, Friday afternoon as well. So back-to-back afternoon games for the Royals later on this week. We'll talk with Todd Lebo at 1 o'clock. College athletics news. Missouri officially announces the hiring of their new athletic director, Laird Veach. The Memphis athletic director, who worked with the University of Florida, worked with K-State, worked with Mizzou, worked with Iowa State, so he's been in the Big 12, he's been in the SEC, he's now been working in the AAC. Here's to him lasting almost as long as the three previous ADs lasted combined. Three athletic directors previous to Laird Veach combined 8.5 years. Three ADs combined 8.5 years. And I don't know the reasoning or why his name was one of the first ones brought up when Desiree Reed-Francois left, took the Arizona job. I don't know why, when his name was first brought up, we're now a couple of months later and it's actually been done. One, it's not like a college basketball coach where there's an immediacy to it. You're not looking for a new football coach or basketball coach, so there is no quick immediacy, we got to get this guy in right now because he's got to go and hire a football coach because this recruiting cycle has taken place. You got the football program that seems to be on solid ground, basketball program that has a new renowned or renewed sense of urgency because you've got a new AD that did not hire you in Dennis Gates. So there's that aspect of it. They hired a recruiting firm, or a search firm, I should say, for $125,000. To end up hiring the guy that most people said they were going to hire anyway.
But at the same time, part of me, again, as a Mizzou alum, so full transparency here, I don't hate it. I don't hate that they went with the guy that they could have with early. My thought process is, well, that means they felt more comfortable about it. You get a chance to understand. You interviewed other candidates, right? So you got to get to know other people, I'm assuming, and you found out, you know what? Mm-hmm. No, we still want to go with this guy. Or maybe the case was they couldn't get another guy that they potentially maybe wanted. But again, there's no hurt in waiting. There was no rush, as you mentioned. They were still able to get things done as far as the stadium, how they're going to try and revamp and add some nice suites and the renovations to Faro.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting here going, yeah, wait. There was no reason to rush. And now you have maybe a better understanding of how Laird fits in the plan.
I will play devil's advocate, and I'll wonder if it took this long because Laird Veach was trying to figure out on his own what the hell's going on at Mizzou. Why did Desiree Reed-Francois leave?
Sure.
What are the Board of Cure? What's this new group that's going to be overseeing everything that I do? Who's my boss? You know, who do I actually, do I answer to this group? Do I answer to the Board of Curators? Do I answer to Eli Drinkwitz? Like,
it's actually you, Jason. He answers to you. It's
weird. It might be Eli. Like, honestly, like, who's my boss? Curators, Board of Directors, this sort of group, or Eli? Who do I answer to? It's actually Eli that you're going to have to answer to. But, like, you know, why did she leave? And maybe if I'm your number one candidate, maybe I need some assurances that this will happen or that will happen, or I'll be allowed to do this. I'll be allowed to make this decision. I'll be allowed to be an athletic director and not an athletic director with power on paper. And sure. That's really it.
I always find it somewhat fascinating how we can have such strong viewpoints on ADs before they even do anything at your school.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like with Desiree, I think there's a lot of pushback originally. Like, well, what has she done at these major schools? Like, what have they won? And then she got there, and everyone's like, oh, no, she's great. She opened up the pocketbooks. Look at what the football team's doing. Look, Dennis Gates and all the money that's going to NIL. So if you're mad about Laird or you're super excited about Laird, that's your prerogative. But also, what I've gotten to now as I've gotten older is when it comes to ADs, I'm going to wait and see.
Well, here's what I'm actually hoping. I like the hire of Laird Veach. I'm hoping that he held out. I'm hoping that it was him saying, I'm going to need to know about this over there. I'm going to need some assurances over there. I'm going to need to know what's going on here. And because he was their number one candidate, some things maybe get more clarity inside the athletic department. And he may not feel like he's got a hawk over him of, well, why are you spending that over there? Well, here's my explanation. Well, we need a 5-page report as to why this $100 went over there. Yeah, I'm not giving you a 5-page. This is what I'm doing, where Desiree Reed-Francois maybe didn't feel like she had that ability. I'm hoping that they said, Laird Veach, you're our guy. And he went, you match 1 through 5 and I'll be your guy. That would be great for Mizzou.